Have you ever heard the call of God in your life? Maybe it was audible. Maybe through His Word. Possibly coming through a fellow believer. Or maybe simply in your heart. As we've been looking at the topic of prayer for the last few weeks, and as we continue to look at it this week, the call of God is something that is absolutely something that you would search for as we pray. That we would pray, we would come to God, and we would seek to know directly what He would have for our life. Today we'll be looking at Jonah chapter 1. Jonah heard the word of the Lord, but he responded the complete wrong way. I love looking into the Old Testament, studying it, and seeing the attributes of God, and seeing pictures of Jesus in there as well. It can get ignored in churches at times, as we can focus on the New Testament. Now, the New Testament absolutely has many beneficial truths for our lives, but it is important to realize that the whole Bible is written by God for us to apply directly to every one of our lives. I really started to develop this passion for the Old Testament as I studied the Bible at Bible college. I saw so many places where Jesus was pointed or alluded to or prophesied about, and so many truths we can take to apply to our own walks with Christ. I hope that as we look at Jonah chapter 1 today, we may see these truths and apply them to our own lives. This book has challenged me many times in many different ways as I've read it, and I pray that today it may be the same for all of us. Start with verse 1. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, our first character, Jonah. The word Jonah means dove, referring likely to the silliness or senselessness of the bird as they flutter about. The son of Amittai means son of my faithfulness. As we will see in the description of Jonah's life, it is certainly not Jonah who is faithful, but rather we see God's faithfulness in his life. We will see that the book is ultimately about God and his attributes. It is amazing to see in this first chapter of Jonah that God can use an unwilling prophet to work mightily for him. Think how much more God can use a willing servant for his name. Again, this is so much about God and not Jonah, as God proves that he can work through any person to do his will and his work. We see in other places in the Bible God using people who are unwilling to serve him, but he changed their lives around. We see a former persecutor of the church in Paul. We see a deceiver in Jacob. We see a tax collector in Matthew and an adulterer in David. We can see modern day examples of this as well. Two people I thought of were Lee Strobel and Josh McDowell. They were people that sought to disprove God and instead came to a saving faith in God and wrote many books about it. I just brought a few books, for example. So we can see through both examples in the Bible and examples of real-life people, well, these were all real-life people, but of modern-day people and authors that God has used and changed their lives around for His glory. So we can see that God is sovereign over all people and situations to accomplish what He knows needs to be accomplished. Now back to Jonah. As we look at verse 2, the Lord tells him to arise, go to Nineveh, the great city, and call out against it, for their evil has come up before me. Now when Jonah hears this, he has no desire to call out against them. For he does not desire that they may be saved out of their sin. He saw this wicked Assyrian city and decided that they were getting what they deserved. Are there people in our lives that we might share this feeling about? Those who maybe we would not want to be saved either, or that we would never think to share Christ with. We may pray for the Christians being persecuted overseas, for the families of people who have been hurt or killed by others, which is certainly a good thing and not wrong, But do we ever pray for the people doing the persecuting? Do we pray for the terrorists, the murderers, or those who have wronged us? These Ninevites were part of the land of Assyria, who, according to David Anderson, were known for violence, terror, torture, and killing conquered people as they pridefully carried home parts of the enemy's leaders' bodies as souvenirs of war. Now, these people were every bit as wicked or worse than the terrorists we may see today, yet these were the people Jonah was called to minister to. Certainly a difficult task, and one Jonah does not accept. Instead, he rose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Now, he could try as he might, but we know that there's no fleeing from the presence of the Lord. As it says in Psalm 139, "Where shall I go from your spirit? Or where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, and the light about me be night, even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is bright as the day, for darkness is as light to you." We know we cannot flee from God's presence, but yet we see many cases of people trying to flee from it as they were in sin. We see Adam and Eve, after they eat the forbidden fruit, hiding in the garden from God. We see the Israelites seeking the calf gods and trying to flee from the Lord. And then we see here Jonah running the opposite way of where God wanted him. Are there ways that we try to do the same? We know that we are in sin and we try to flee and get away from the presence of God. We do our sins in the dark. We may distance ourselves from fellow Christians, whether it be family, friends, or even our church family. Or maybe it is simply denying God to our friends and coworkers, thinking that we can avoid the presence of God coming into our workplaces and our other places. This is certainly something I did throughout so much of my young life. I grew up in the church. I knew lots of things about God. But when I was with my friends, I wanted no part of it. I would never talk about anything to do with it. I simply tried to distance myself from Him. But even as I was unfaithful, as I put God way on the back shelf, He was never far away. He was right there, watching, waiting. And we see the same here in Jonah chapter 1. Jonah may try to flee from God's presence, but as we see in verse 4, the Lord hurled a great wind upon the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so that the ship threatened to break up. Jonah may have been unfaithful, but God was not about to give up on him. God is faithful, even when we are not. No matter how far Jonah tries to flee, no matter how far we may wander or backslide, God is there, calling, beckoning, calling us back to draw near and abide with Him. Well, with Jonah, it was more than a gentle whisper. It was a storm huge enough to make even these seasoned sailors freak out. The sailors are calling out to their own gods, doing whatever they can to try and combat the storm. And of course, Jonah's doing the same. Well, actually, he's not. Jonah had gone down into the inner part of the ship and had lain down and was fast asleep. It's interesting to note that the sailors are crying out to their gods, but Jonah is silent, perhaps even hiding from God in the inside of the ship. When we are living disobediently to God, we can be hesitant to call out to Him as well. Even when we are facing our biggest storms, we can be too proud to seek the Lord, and instead, because of our pride, we try to face it ourselves. Jonah does come around and he does realize that the storm is because of him and that he must give up his life for the others. It's amazing how God uses this storm to take Jonah from acting selfishly, fleeing from God and His call, and instead he ends up acting completely selflessly, willing to give his life up for the other sailors, as Jesus did on a much grander scale. God did not give up on Jonah, And Jonah responds by giving up his life, acting as a picture of how Christ would act in the future, even as Jonah is unfaithful in many other ways. But as John says, "By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers." 1 John 3:16. We can act the same as Jonah, unfaithful in so many ways, but then in a certain situation we can act as a picture of Jesus to a person. As we act selflessly, share the love of Jesus, and care for others' needs before our own. But we need to do this more and more, that being Christ-like more Christ-like every day would be our ultimate goal. Now, the second characters we see in this story are the sailors on the ship. These are the people that took Jonah along, knowing that he was fleeing from God. They knew something was different about that day, though, as soon as they hit the water, as they saw a storm more extreme than anything they had ever experienced. The sailors cry out to their gods and throw cargo overboard to try and save themselves. Now, we saw many ways we can be like Jonah, and we can see similarities with the sailors' actions as well. How can we act like them when we face the storms of our life? Breakups, losing jobs, losing friends, facing deaths of loved ones. We call out to our own gods of self-help books, money, food, television, and even family. Anything to try and numb the pain. We cast aside our unnecessary cargo, our sins, our bad habits, and we try to save ourselves by our morality. We try to turn things around ourselves, not realizing that God is right there beside us, waiting for us to call on Him so He can carry us through and learn to rely on Him even more. Sometimes it is true that a heart may need to be broken before it can truly be full. When my dad passed away, I didn't know where to turn. But thankfully, by God's grace, I chose to turn to Him and His Word. And that incredibly hard time taught me to turn to God first, above everything else, both when I face the storms and when I face the good times. So the sailors try everything they think of to try and combat this storm. Then finally they turn to that rogue, fugitive passenger hiding in the inside of the ship to try and understand why this storm had come upon them. They ask him, "Tell us on whose account this evil has come upon us. What is your occupation, and where do you come from? What is your country, and of what people are you?" And Jonah replies, "I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land." They realize that it is because of Jonah that this terrible storm had come. And they see the power of God, as this storm had come from Jonah's God was greater than any they had ever seen. They ask him what to do, and he says they need to hurl him into the sea. But interestingly, they do not. Instead, it says that they rowed hard to get back to dry land, but they could not, in verse 13. Now we can act the same way. We may know that we need to rely on God. We may know what we need to do in a situation, but yet we go and we try to get through it on our own strength instead of relying on God, who is our comforter, who is there, and who is seeking for us to turn to Him. These sailors tried on their own strength, and it had gotten them nowhere, and yet they still tried to do the same thing over and over again. It's interesting to note that these sailors started out by crying out to their own gods. But in the end, they end up calling out to the Lord, the one true God, and obeying Him. At the end of the chapter, in verse 14 to 16, it says that they called out to the Lord, "O Lord, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not on us innocent blood, for you, O Lord, have done as it pleased you." So they picked up Jonah and hurled him into the sea. And the sea ceased from its raging. At that very moment when he hit the sea ceased from its raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows. These pagan sailors fear the Lord, meaning a reverent worship of God, and they offer sacrifices and vows to the Lord. Certainly a powerful turnaround from where they were at the start of the chapter. God is sovereign. Using the unfaithful, unwilling prophet Jonah, God saves a literal boatload of people. God is awesome. Sovereign over the sailors' lives, and faithful over Jonah's life. And he is certainly the same in our lives as well. Now, the characters of Jonah and the sailors are certainly present in this chapter. But I would argue that the most present character is God. And we learn so much about him. We already saw God's faithfulness over Jonah, his sovereignty over the sailors' situation, and we see his compassion over Jonah and the sailors. None of them are living faithful to the Lord, yet God seeks to call all of them to himself. His great love and compassion are for all people, not only the unwilling believer, as Jonah acts, but also for the unbeliever, as we see in the sailors, and even the wicked people of the earth, the Ninevites, whom God called Jonah to. We may never know the impact we have on others by our interactions. It doesn't have to be as extreme as Jonah's situation. It can be as simple as a smile, or showing love to another person in Christ's name, or sharing the gospel with them. It is simply being faithful to God's call on our lives. God's ways are higher than ours. We may not understand how he works. It's so crazy to reflect on the fact that he could use an unfaithful believer fleeing from him to save a boatload of people. God is always faithful, even as we can be unfaithful. I have seen this in my life so many times, but I remember it the most when I was on a missions trip to Mexico. I was unfaithful in so many ways, especially in my own prayer life, and that caused me to suffer in my actions towards others, especially those on my team. Yet God was so faithful in this trip, and I saw it in so many ways, as he brought so many people to the Lord, as we did programs with the children of the communities and shared Christ with many of the local people. God is faithful. When we face storms in our life, even as we feel far from God, we must remember, as we see with Jonah and the sailors, God is never far away. He may be gently whispering or shouting in a massive storm, but we must remember that God does not change. His sovereignty, his faithfulness, his compassion and love will never change. So may we seek the Lord through prayer. May we seek him through his word and seek to abide in Christ to be more like him. And when we hear his call, what will you do? Invite the worship team.
Thanks, David, for your very thought-provoking message. And in response to that message, we will sing the great hymn of the faith, Great is Thy Faithfulness. Please stand.
Great is Thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning. Changest not thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever will be. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have thy hand has provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. summer and